We're going to turn to two places this morning to get us started. First, Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. If you want to be finding Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, and then we'll take our main text this morning from Psalms 103. And so we'll be in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 to begin, and then we will get into Psalms 103. And so we have been on the subject of mercy for some time, and we are grateful and thankful for God's mercy. And part of the purpose of a study like we've been in is to, first of all, make us aware of God's mercy. Then doctrinally define what God's mercy is. And mercy, a simple definition, is just not getting what we deserve. And aren't you thankful that we don't get what we deserve? And because we deserve to pay for our own sins, and we are the only way we could do that is suffer eternity in a devil's hell. And I'm grateful for the mercy of God that is embodied in the Lord Jesus Christ. But not just the doctrinal implications and salvation and escape from hell, but I want us to be, part of my goal as the pastor teaching this is to just make us aware of all the times mercy is in our life that we're just not aware of it, and to remind us that God's mercy is with us continually. And so we'll look at another aspect of this today in the subject of mercy, and we'll look at first at Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, and something I want to remind us of, and then we'll look at Psalms chapter number 103 to give context to what we read in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Look at verse number 1. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose unto heaven. Then Solomon goes on and writes, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. We see established that there are times or seasons in every life. Are you with me this morning? And so we understand this. We understand that the longer we live, the more seasons we're going to go through. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Okay, turn over to Psalms 103. Psalms 103. It's a wonderful, wonderful chapter, wonderful psalm. And we've looked at it already in this series. But if we look at Psalms 103, let's look at verse number 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Aren't you glad we are reminded of the nature of God? Right. His nature is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. That means He's got more than enough. You say, well, Pastor, if you knew, I mean, I'm afraid God's going to run out of mercy on me. Well, He's plenteous in mercy. He has more than enough. So we understand this. But then we go in verse number 9, we see a similar thought process that we see in Ecclesiastes. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He had not dealt with us after our sin, nor reward us according to our iniquities. So there are times and seasons, again. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. We're reminded of the greatness of His mercy. Now let's skip down to verse number 17, and this is our text verse this morning. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. Okay? The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. In Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, we saw that there is a season and a time to everything. There's a time for this. There's a time for that. If you followed along, there's some times that are not pleasant. There's some that are more pleasant. So if we have those seasons and there's a time and a purpose, then we also know that the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, meaning it's always going to be there. It's always going to last. It's never going to lose its ability to undergird, never going to lose its ability to be that support. from everlasting to everlasting, do we not think that that can apply or does apply to every time, to every season, and to every purpose? This morning, I want to preach on this subject, mercy in the transitions of life. Mercy in the transitions of life. Tonight, I want you to be in the service tonight. I'm planning on preaching on the dangers of the valleys and the voids. And the two of these sermons are going to tie together because this morning we're going to look at the transitions of life. There's changes that come about in our life. You say, well, some are obvious, some are not so obvious. But there's mercy there. I think this will be a help to us this morning. Father, we pray that you would once again help us, guide us, strengthen us today. May your Spirit comfort us. May he challenge us. May he convict us. And Father, we'll give you the honor and praise for what you do in each and every heart. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Most people, if we're honest, we think the hardest moments of life are what we would call the storms of life. It's the diagnosis. It's the funeral. It's the crisis hour. It's the failure in our life. And certainly those moments are very, very difficult. But I would submit to you this morning that there are moments that are more dangerous in life than the storms themselves. The most dangerous moments are not the storms. The most dangerous moments are the transitions that the storms bring about. This is why the changing seasons in life, some that do not come about by storms, or just the changing seasons in life can be difficult. Because it's the moment one season ends and another begins. The moment when what was familiar becomes unfamiliar. The moments when God closes one chapter, don't miss this, but has not yet revealed the next. Transitions are difficult because they create uncertainty. And uncertainty creates fear. Let's be honest this morning. There's several things we all have in common. One of them being is we like knowing what comes next. We like our routines. We like our stability. We like the predictable outcomes. But may I remind us all of what we know and have experienced, that life does not stay the same. Children grow up. Some of you that are fighting those toddlers, let me encourage you with that. Children do grow up. Doesn't mean they ever leave, but they do grow up. Parents grow older. Careers change. Health changes. Ministries change. Relationships change. Opportunities change. Entire seasons and order of life can change in an instant, in but a moment. All it takes is one phone call. All it takes is one doctor's appointment. All it takes is one company buyout. Only takes is one decision. All it takes is one opportunity. And suddenly, life that we knew and life that was predictable is completely different than it was yesterday. May I remind us this morning that our Bible is filled with people standing in transitions. See, not all transitions, as I've already mentioned, I'll remind us, is because something bad happened. Joshua, we see him standing after the death of Moses. Joseph moving from prison to palace. David fleeing from Saul. The disciples after the crucifixion. Elisha, after Elijah was taken away. And perhaps the reason that these transitions are so difficult is because they reveal and they expose to ourselves what we are truly trusting. Don't miss that. Because when the familiar disappears, we discover whether we were trusting God or merely trusting the order of our life. When that uncertainty is in front of us, we reveal and discover, were we really people of faith in God, or are we trusting the season of life that we were in? But friend, this morning, as we think of transition and we think of the fact that certain things are going to reveal what we are really trusting on. See, it's easy to believe in God. It's easy to have faith in God when everything's going well. It's easy to say, oh, the Bible works and the Bible is true, and it certainly does, whether we see it working or not. It certainly is working and it certainly is true, but it's easy to say that. It's easy to preach it when everything is smooth in life. But when those transitions come and that uncertainty is there in that order that we have known, that routine that we have had, that comfort in our mind of everything's the same today as it was yesterday, when that is turned upside down, we discover, were we trusting in our routine of going to church, or are we trusting in the God of the church? Are we trusting in the routine of our Christian life, or are we trusting in the principles in the Word of God that we are to establish our life on? See, friend, the mercy of God is never limited to a season. Why is it, and I don't have the statistics in front of me, they change from year to year seemingly, but they will get the average church-going person, there's a shelf life they have. It's less than 10 years for the average Christian to stay faithful to the things of God, stay faithful to church, and that's not even somebody who's involved in everything that the church has to offer. Why is that? Is God not good? God's good. Has God changed? Does God change every 10 years? God has never changed. Does the Bible become true or less true based on election cycles? No, the Bible is always true. But what happens in the life of the average Christian is when the transitions take place, we have revealed to us what were we really depending on. You go from one pastor to a next, and the Bible is the same. Were we depending on a personality, or were we depending on the Word of God? We go from prosperity in a nation to lean times. Were we depending on a God who promises that He will never leave us or forsake us, or were we depending on a balance in a bank account? We must be reminded that in those seasons, and see, some of you are in seasons of transition right now. And we'll speak more about this tonight, Lord willing. Do people who fall away from God, do they all of a sudden stop loving God? I don't believe that. I believe they still love God. But when transitions came, there were challenges that came to their life. And this morning, I want this to be a preventative message, if you will, in the fact that I want us to see that there is mercy available in these transitions. Someone who has good health and then they lose their health. That's a difficult transition. But God is still God. And I want us to see this morning that in these transitions, if we'll look and take our eyes and focus off of the now turmoil and what is my routine? I don't even know what my routine is anymore. What is my future? I don't even know what my future is anymore. This is different. Maybe there's nothing obvious that's changed, but you're just getting old. There's some things that transition there, and if we're not careful, we'll miss the mercy of God that is there to carry us through these transitions. Let me say number one, notice number one, but as we turn to the book of Joshua, I want you to see this in your Bibles this morning. We'll be in Joshua chapter number one. And I'll give us the outline quickly this morning. And I remind you that quickly is a relative term, but we'll do it quickly. While you're finding Joshua chapter one, let me say, mercy is evident as God's presence when the old season ends. I'm going to show us this morning, I have five statements I'm going to make, and I'm going to show us five different ways that God's mercy is in our life during transitions. The first one is mercy is there in the evidence of God's presence when the old season ends. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Look down at verse number 6. Be strong and of good cheer, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. So God's going to fulfill his promise. We see that. Go back to verse number 5. This is key. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life as I was with Moses. So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now I said, mercy, when the season changes, it's God's presence. That's one way that we see it. Now, after the death of Moses. Now, we read that and we say, oh, and because Moses has been dead a long time, we say one leader's now died, the next one is on the scene. But if you're Joshua, it carries a little more weight than that.
Right.
Moses is now gone. Picture this with me. The greatest leader Israel had ever known. Think of the significance of Moses and how much confidence and strength that he presented to God's people. This is the man who led them out of captivity, out of Egypt. This is the man who was brave enough and bold enough to stand in front of Pharaoh and say, "Let God's people go." This is the man who parted the Red Sea. Those type of men aren't just churned out all the time. Now he's dead. That season has now changed. And Joshua literally is standing at the doorway of the future of God's people. Place yourself for just a moment, as best you can, in Joshua's shoes. Do the best you can this morning to imagine the pressure that he now feels. See, it's one thing to be the man that Moses can say, go out there and slay that army. I can go out there and draw my sword. But now it's the pressure of being the leader that's supposed to have every answer. The leader that's supposed to lead the people. And if Moses, the greatest leader they had problems with insurrections, think of the pressure that is on Joshua. Can you imagine the uncertainty? Not just in the people, but in the mind of Joshua. Can you imagine the fear? Oh, Joshua didn't have any fear. He was that great warrior. He was the one, don't you remember, Pastor? He was the one that said, God, let the sun stand still so I can have time to defeat all of the armies of the enemy. Oh yeah, when men do that, that doesn't mean their absence of fear. It means they do it in spite of fear. But there's a different type of fear when it comes to now I'm leading the people. But I want us to notice not just what God said, but what he didn't say. If you'll capture this morning, this is going to be life-changing for somebody. He does not say, Joshua, don't worry. Nothing is going to change. In fact, he points out everything is changing. And don't miss this. We go to a new season and we comfort ourselves and one another. Don't worry. Nothing is going to change. That's not true. Everything's changing. Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, everything's going to change. Now, God was not changing. His promises were not changing. But everything else in their life was changing. There would be new battles. There would be new enemies and a new voice leading them. A new personality, if you would, fulfilling the promises of God. That is something you and I need to be reminded of, that in fact, when God does not change, your life still does. Your peace still does. Your circumstances still do. All of those things change. We say, well, nothing's changing. Oh, don't be fooled by that. Everything was changing. But what did God say? He said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. In the midst of all of this change, I'm still going to be with you the same as I was with Moses. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You know what that is right there? That's mercy. Mercy did not prevent Moses from dying. Mercy did not permit this transition. With those millions of people following Moses, do you think there was probably somebody in that great crowd of millions that didn't like Joshua as much as they liked Moses? That you think there was any there that said, well, Joshua just doesn't have the experience? Well, certainly. And in the minds of those people, things had changed as well. But mercy did not prevent this transition. Mercy provided God's presence in the transition. God did not say everything's the same. He said, Joshua, in essence, everything's changing. The leader's changing. You're now not going to stay over here. You're going into the promised land. That's going to be different. Everything is changing. The generation had turned over, if you will. But now mercy, this is the mercy. I'm still with you. And friend, this morning, let's make this application in our life. When transitions take place, don't make the mistake of saying, well, everything's the same. No, it's not. It's not the same. If you get bad news from a doctor and you pretend like everything's the same, that's not going to be a good result. If we have crisis as a nation and we say, well, we're America, everything's the same, that's not going to be a good result. If you go from one season of transition to the next and in your mind you convince yourself everything is the same, it is not going to be a good result. We must first acknowledge things aren't the same. Things are different now. And God reveals His mercy in saying, even though everything's different, I am not. Even though your routine is now going to be different, I am the same. And my mercy, the evidence of it, is I'm still right here with you. Mercy did not prevent this change and transition. And sometimes we say, Lord, don't let this season end. Don't let this change come. But mercy is evident in God's presence as you go into the next one. The mercy of God is not always in keeping everything the same. You remember just a few moments ago when I talked about how we like our routine? We like the things that we do. We provides a sense of comfort. And truth of the matter is, often we fight to keep them the same. So, oh God, would you have mercy? Just don't let anything change. Just don't. But sometimes, that's not the mercy. The mercy is, things aren't going to stay the same. But, I'm going to show my mercy. And I'm going to make it very obvious to you that while things are different, I'm still with you. You know, there's seasons in our own, in our nation, as great of a nation as we have. Oh, it's over. Do you know how many times it's been over in our country? If you don't know, let me tell you, about 250 years. There have been periods of it's over. And I'm not saying everything in our country is the way it should be. And I am very aware that things could change tomorrow. But this is what we cannot do, and we cannot confuse a never-changing God with changing seasons in our life. Because God never changes, but He intends for our seasons to change. He put it in Scripture. There's going to be a time to do this. There's going to be a time to do this. There's going to be a time for this. There's going to be a time not for this. And every season, it has a purpose. And he shows His mercy by not changing in those seasons. Some of you, you'd have more peace in your life, even though your situation is difficult, if you would just acknowledge in your mind, it's different now. It's not the same. It's never going to be the same. But can I tell you? I don't know how I'm going to survive it. Let me tell you how you'll survive it. The same way you were surviving it before. And you were a little more self-reliant on the goodness of God. You just didn't reveal that it was His goodness that was keeping your routine, His goodness that was keeping everything. But now you'll be reminded of the mercy of God, His presence. Some, you're grieving a season of life that has ended. This happens with relationships. This happens with ministry involvement. See, God's mercy may not bring that season ever back again. But God's mercy still says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. It's a good reminder for us, and this is just point number one. I got five today. This is good stuff. But as life changes around us, it reminds us, what are we dependent on? Sometimes this is what we're saying without even knowing we're saying it. I can't leave this season because this is where my hope is. This is where my joy is. And friend, you could be in a good season of life and you should enjoy all of those things. But as that season changes, we're reminded in that transition, my hope wasn't in my routine. My hope wasn't in those blessings I was enjoying. My hope has been in the Lord the whole time. And in this transition, I wish I still had this relationship. If I could change it, the world wouldn't be different. If I could change it, my health wouldn't have changed. But I can't help all those things. Just as God was saying to Joshua, it's not going to be the same. But in spite of the fact it's going to be different, I'm not the same. My promises are the same. And just like I told Moses in that generation that you were going to, the promised land was for the people. Everywhere you put your foot, Joshua, you were going to have it because I am still Him. And I want you to know by my mercy did not die. My presence did not die with Moses. Mercy is revealed as God's presence when the old season ends. Probably should have just made that a sermon on its own. Number two, in Exodus chapter number 14, we don't have time to read through that, but Israel is trapped. Egypt is behind them. Moses has led them out. The Red Sea is before them. There's no visible way forward. There's no clear answer. There's no obvious solution. This is where a lot of Christians live. You got an army behind you that wants to destroy you. You got a sea in front of you. And I know what some of you are thinking. Well, just part it. Well, they didn't know that it could be parted. Right. And if they could talk to you from heaven, they would say, just step out by faith. Right. Why are you holding on to that seat you're sitting in? Right. Because they could see things that we can't see. But if you are Israel in that day and you were in captivity, you've left, and now the army's behind you and the sea's in front of you, we see number two, mercy revealed as sustaining grace in an uncertain middle. Mercy revealed as a sustaining grace in an uncertain middle. There's no clear answer. There's no obvious solution. We're not where we were. We're not where we're going. We're just stuck in the middle. You ever feel that way? That you're just stuck? This is if you could put it like this, this is the corridor between chapters of life. We're just, if I can say it like this, we're just spinning our tires. I know that I'm not where, I know I shouldn't be behind me yet, but I'm not where I'm going. Matter of fact, I think I know where I'm going. Or maybe you're like, I have no idea where I'm going. I just know I'm not going to stay here. Now, we do know the end of the story. We do know that God delivered them. But may I remind us this morning, it wasn't immediate deliverance. We read that chapter, they're stuck. They don't know what they're going to do. A few verses later, the Red Sea parts. I promise you, it did not happen that fast. And when you're the one stuck in the middle, and the sea's in front of you, and the army's behind you, a day seems like an eternity. It wasn't immediate deliverance. It wasn't immediate answers. And let's be honest, that's what we want from God. I don't want to be in an uncertain middle. In some ways, when I was in Egypt, I at least had that routine under slavery. I at least knew what I was going to do today. I didn't like it, but I at least knew. I at least knew what was expected. I knew what I was supposed to do. Now, out here in this middle, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. I don't even know which way is forward. I'm in an uncertain transition in the middle of some transition in my life. And we want immediate deliverance. But Pastor, I'm just frustrated. Why are you frustrated? I'm in the middle. I'm uncertain. And I talked to God this morning and He hadn't answered me yet. Now we laugh because we've all been there. Some of you are there this morning. God didn't give them immediate answers. What did He give them? He gave them a sustaining presence. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, a verse we've looked at in past weeks says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Notice that carefully. Often we look for mercy after the crisis. But mercy is available in the crisis. Hebrews 4:16 is not talking about mercy after a transition, but it's mercy during the transition. See, one of the greatest expressions of mercy we find in Hebrews 4:16 is that sustaining grace. The ability to keep going, or can I say it like this? The ability to sit still when you don't know what comes next. See, sometimes we think if God was really leading me, He'd be showing me, and God is doing a work. We look at it as if we don't get out of here, the army is going to come. But God had a greater picture. He was going to part that Red Sea, but He was also going to deal with Egypt. And He just needed God's people to sit for that enemy to get a little bit closer. Then to show them this Jehovah has it all figured out. And then while I'm delivering you, I'm going to cast judgment on that army. See, sometimes God has His people sit, and it is an act of mercy. It's an act of grace. God has a plan, and I'm transitioning you from bondage to freedom, and it's not happening overnight. You are going to go from point A to point B, but you're going to have some transitions, and you have to just be a little patient by while you're in that uncertainty. What do I do next? You can find mercy in the form of that sustaining grace. It's the ability to keep going when you don't know what comes next. The ability to trust God when answers are absent. The ability to move forward one step at a time. Mercy often appears not as an explanation, but as endurance. Mercy is revealed as sustaining grace in the uncertain middle. Number three, mercy revealed as strength for seasons we never expected. And these last three I'll move through quickly because of time, but there's mercy revealed as strength for seasons we never expected. If we could go back many, many years in our life and write the script of our life, there are seasons that we're in right now or we've just gone through that we never would have anticipated we went through. And I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 as Paul addresses the fact that he had a thorn in his flesh, something that he asked God to remove from his life. Three times he asked God to remove it, and three times God told him no. It was not because God did not care. It was not because God did not love him, but it's because God could do more by giving him his grace. See, mercy is revealed as strength for seasons. Some of you and some of us, we get to a place, and maybe you're here today, you have a thorn, you have a burden, you have a difficulty, you have that failing health, you have those transitions you're in. And in our mind, our human mind, we say, well, where is God's mercy? If he's merciful, he'd take this from me. But no, God is revealing his mercy as the strength that you need to get through the season you never thought you'd be in. Some, you go through cancer, you're like, I never thought I'd be in that season, but God was not unmerciful by allowing you to go in that season. He's merciful by giving you the strength to go through it. Some of you are in transitions in different things of your life, and you're like, why was God not merciful? Oh, you're looking at it all wrong. God is merciful in the fact that he's giving you the strength. Let me ask you a better question. How have you survived this? How have you made it this far? How have you still existed in a way that you have? I'll tell you how. It's the mercy of God revealed in strength. See, God answered him and said, I'm not going to remove the burden. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's mercy. We consider mercy as removing the thorn, but mercy is sufficient grace to bear the thorn. Mercy is not always changing the season. Mercy strengthens us for the season. See, Joshua, who we referred to a moment ago, did not receive fewer responsibilities. He received strength instead. Timothy, as he takes the mantle, if you will, and takes the responsibility from his mentor, the Apostle Paul, he did not receive an easier ministry. Instead, he received strength for the ministry. Paul did not lose the thorn. Instead, he received strength. God did not remove the thorn from your life. But let me tell you what he has given you. Strength to bear it. God did not prevent the heartache. But let me tell you what he has provided. Strength to bear the heartache. God did not prevent your health from changing. But let me tell you what he has provided. Strength in the midst of a failing health. Everything that God allows, that mercy shows up in the form of strength. Let's be honest. Some of you have been through things and are going through things, and you don't know how you've made it through. But let me tell you how you made it through. It's the strength that God has given you. You can't explain it. You can't articulate it. You can't describe it. All you know is, I know that I should not have the strength and the ability. I don't know how I've overcome this. I don't know how I've done it. The answer is there. Mercy showed up. And it wasn't in prevention. It was in strength while you are enduring. We misunderstand mercy. Mercy is not always removal. Sometimes, don't miss this, sometimes mercy means empowerment. We're praying for God's mercy to remove because I don't have what it takes to carry this. I don't have what it takes to live with this day after day. God, would you show some mercy to remove it? But mercy shows up in this way as well. God didn't say, no, you're looking at it wrong. I'm going to give you the power that you need to carry this every day. I'm going to give you the power that you need to endure this heartache, this burden. Doesn't always mean removal. It means empowerment. Many are carrying responsibilities you never imagined carrying. Grief you never expected to experience. Challenges you never planned for. Yet, as we say, you're still standing. Why? Are you super Christian? No. Because mercy has been supplying your strength. Every day you continue, every day you endure, every day you keep walking, that is mercy. We often just so flippantly, and we do it, say, I don't know how I got through that day. Let me tell you how you got through it. God empowered you to get through it. God's mercy gives us what we need. Are we worthy of God's mercy? Are we worthy of God's power? No, but we have a God that says, I know this season I want you to go through because I'm going to do a work in your heart. I'm going to do a work in your life, and I'm going to use you to advance my cause some way. And I know in your flesh, you're not able to do that. I know in your spirit, you cannot do that. I know the weight of I didn't make the human spirit to endure that much heartache or that much disappointment. But let me tell you what I'm going to do. And by my mercy, because I'm a merciful God, I'll give you the strength you need so you won't crumble under that burden you're carrying. I'll give you the empowerment of the strength you need so you can get through another day. And how many times have we limped in figuratively and literally at the end of the day and say, thank God that one's done. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do another one. And the next day, you roll out of bed and say, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but here we go. God doesn't remove the burden. He says, let me give you the power to do it. Number four, we see mercy revealed as companionship. Psalms 23, a passage we're familiar with and we've looked at several times in the study, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Notice what David does not say. He doesn't say, mercy, remove that valley. He didn't say, mercy, sent me on a detour around the valley. He says, God was present in the valley. Let's be honest this morning, this very well may be one of the greatest examples of mercy. The mercy of companionship. The mercy of God's presence. There are times, friend, in life when you sit in a valley that no man can sit with you. No man can understand what you're going through. No man can describe the feelings you have. And let's be honest, you can't articulate the burden on your heart. You can't articulate the burden that you're carrying. You're in that valley alone and by yourself. You say, well, where is God's mercy? He could have kept me here. Friend, a day with God is still a day with God. Right. And all of us would detour around the valley. Let's be honest. But if we're in the valley, God shows His mercy by telling us and David revealing to us. And if we're honest, we know in our mind, we are not alone. He is our companion. This is the mercy of companionship, the mercy of God's presence, the mercy that sits with us in our grief. It walks with us through sorrow. His presence carries us through loss. See, friend, God does not always remove the pain, and we lie to ourselves and one another, and we say, well, time will reveal, we'll take away all of that, and time can certainly offer some strength, but there's some things that time cannot take the pain away. Time cannot take the suffering away, but let me tell you what gets through that. Mercy as a companion helps us get through that. See, God doesn't always remove that burden and pain, but He never abandons His children in that pain. Think of this. When Lazarus died, Jesus came to Lazarus. When the disciples feared, Jesus came. He could have kept Lazarus from dying, but He was there when he died. If you don't know that story, He didn't stay dead. When the disciples were out in the boat and they were afraid, guess who came to them walking on the water? When Paul sat in prison, Jesus was there. See, mercy often appears. Don't miss this. We feel the presence of God, and we think He's come to rescue us from this valley. But oftentimes, it's not a rescue mission. He says, I'm coming to the valley not to rescue you from it, but to sit next to you in it. And friend, that is the mercy that is revealed in those valleys. It's His companionship. Because let's be honest, if He just rescued us from every valley, if He removed every burden, we would not be aware of His presence. We would just continue on with life. And in that valley that no man can comfort us, God shows up and His mercy is revealed as He is our companion in those valleys. Many this morning would testify the season, the transition of life where God's presence was the most real and clear were those seasons that they never would have chosen. And I finished this morning with number 5, mercy revealed as provision in the next season. A passage of Scripture we've looked at several times, Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Why are mercies new every morning? Because every morning brings a new day. And every day requires new mercy. Friend, God never asks us to face tomorrow, as we've already said in past weeks on yesterday's supply. Fresh mercy for every season. Before Joshua crossed the Jordan, mercy was already there. Before David faced Goliath, mercy was already there. Before Daniel entered the lion's den, mercy was already there. Before Esther stood before the king, mercy was already there. And friend, before you entered your next season, mercy is already waiting. See, the future may be uncertain to you, the future may be uncertain to me, but let me remind you, the future is not uncertain to God. And the mercy that has carried you this far has already gone ahead of you. Now, let me help us this morning. That does not mean we will not fear that next chapter. It does not mean we won't have fears as we move forward. But may I remind us that mercy is already there. Let me conclude this morning and let me summarize. Every transition in your life and mine reveals a different expression of God's mercy. If we're not careful, we make the mistake because we see it in one form, in one part of our life. We fail to see how it shows up in the other parts of our life. Every transition that you face in life reveals a different expression of God's mercy. We've seen this morning mercy as presence, mercy as sustaining grace, mercy as strength. Mercy as companionship. And mercy as provision for tomorrow. Let me just back up very quickly. That companionship. No, don't lose the sight of how valuable that is. In a lot of cases, and probably most cases, we can't even get a person to be our companion. We have the God of the universe who says, I just want to walk with you for a little bit. You're sitting in that ash heap. Let me sit next to you. I want to be your companion. When every other man has left you, here's my mercy and my companionship. Friend, life's filled with transitions. Seasons begin, seasons end. Everything around us changes. I think we failed one another because we don't know what to say, and sometimes we make that statement, well, nothing's going to change, when that's not true. In fact, sometimes everything's changing. But it's God's mercy that sustains us. It's God's mercy that does not leave us. Now, this morning, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, there's enough mercy available to you for forgiveness of all of your sins. If you failed this past week, let me help you. There's enough mercy to help you get back on your feet and move forward. How many of you this morning, you know whether it's true or not, How many of you are in that uncertain place? You can't go back, and you don't know how you're going to go forward. How many of you are there? God's mercy is still there. How many of you seasons change and it's now everything is different? What am I supposed to do now? Mercy is revealed in the fact that God is still the same and God's not going to leave you. If you're in the valley, there's the companionship. What are you going through this morning? God is enough. He shows up in His mercy. It would be good for His church to do this morning. Before we leave today, we take the time to acknowledge God's mercy. Do you see it? Do you feel it? What are you going through this morning? God's strength is enough. Say, Pastor, I'm facing this, and I don't know how I'm going to rear my children this way. I don't know how I'm going to do these things. If God would do this and this, well, God may not do that, but God, well, let me tell you what God will do. He will empower you in a way you could not be empowered. Allow Him to empower you this morning. Father, we come to You grateful for Your mercy.